We're going to read from verse 1 through 5. Pursue love, yet earnestly desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For one who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands, but in his spirit he speaks mysteries. But one who prophesies speaks to men for edification and exhortation and consolation. But one who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. But one who prophesies edifies the church. And I wish that you all spoke in tongues, but even more that you would prophesy. And greater is one who prophesies than one who speaks in tongues, unless he interprets, that the church may receive edifying. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you, God. We thank you for always such a full service already, God. And thank you for loving us, for loving our babies, Lord. And we pray, God, that we would be such good stewards, Lord, of these precious gifts. And but Lord, now we come humbly to your word, God, and we ask you to teach us through it, Lord. God, to that end, we ask you right now to release the revelatory ministry of the Holy Spirit in this room. Lord, give us an ear to hear and a heart to receive what the Spirit is saying to each one of us individually and corporately as a body. Lord, I humble myself today. I ask that you use me to preach your prophetic word with power and authority. Help me, Lord, not just to convey your words, God, but to convey your heart. God, we thank you, Lord. We love you in this house, God. And in Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. Amen. So we're continuing on in our pretty big theme. It's probably going to probably lead us through the rest of the year. And we're going to, you guys remember I talked about it yesterday a bit, it's the coffee shop talks. If we're sitting down, me and you, we're at Starbucks or Pacific Coffee or any of these other places, and we're just having a chat about current events or about certain maybe doctrine or theological ideas. And this is kind of off-the-cuff response. And so I want to share that with you. Last week, we talked about the big question that we're dealing with right now is, Pastor Sam, how can I grow? How can I grow spiritually? How can I grow as a Christian? And last week, we talked about going deeper in God's Word, not just reading God's Word, but meditating on God's Word and just allowing the Spirit to lead and teach and guide us through that. And then I mentioned that today I was going to talk about prayer. But I'm going to talk about prayer in a little bit of a different way. And so I just want to preface this by saying that I'm going to talk about something, and it might make some of us very uncomfortable, particularly if we came from a certain tradition that viewed this particular gift or this particular activity very negatively. And I say that because that was my tradition. My parents were Southern Baptist, and when I first started speaking in tongues, my uncle, who's a Southern Baptist pastor, my aunt and uncle sat me down and basically warned me and all other kinds of stuff. They came from a church that when a few of the members had received the gift and were speaking in tongues in their church, the senior pastor wrote an open letter to everyone in the church, basically telling everyone that this was, in his words, vomit from hell. And so you should not be involved in it. So you can imagine the hoops that I had to go through during this time. And so so I'm going to talk about speaking in tongues today. And but I want to say this. I know some of you guys that maybe come from different traditions, and we respect and honor that. You may feel compelled to leave during this time. I want to encourage you to stay. And I want to encourage you to suspend your thinking. I want you to think. Suspend your judgment until after my sermon. And then, and obviously, if we have more, you have more questions, then we can really have a coffee shop talk one-on-one. And so I'm totally open to that. But I think we're just going to draw from the scriptures and hopefully to give you a different light or a different way. When I talk about growing, and I've had this conversation with many people in coffee shops, in my office, everywhere. When they ask me about spiritual growth or PSAM, you know, what are some of the books that you really enjoy, like, and all these things? But for you personally, what has really helped you? I can honestly say with all of my heart that, I mean, obviously the scriptures, we understand that. But I can honestly say that there's something about this gift, about receiving a prayer language, that's really helped me personally as a Christian and as a pastor, probably more than anything else. I know that sounds like such a grand statement, but it really is. And I feel it's an indispensable part of who I am and ministry and so on and so forth. But I'm not just going to speak out of experience. I want to just really, more than anything else, speak out of the Scriptures. And so this is praying. It's used interchangeably, speaking in tongues, praying in the Spirit, having a prayer language. They're all interchangeable, all basically meaning the same thing. Now, some people think that praying in tongues is sticking your tongue out and wagging it. I actually went to a service many, many years ago, and that's basically what the pastor said. Just stick your tongue out and start wagging it, or say hallelujah like 10 times really fast, and then you'll receive the gift. That's just stupid. It doesn't work like that. You heard me say this all the time. It's not just repeating these phrases over and over again. You know, bada Honda, shada bada Yamaha. It doesn't work that way. Some of you guys didn't catch that, right? Bada Honda, shada bada Yamaha. But that's not exactly how it works in that regard as well. So let's just go back to the Scriptures. And let's see what the Scriptures have laid out for us. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, Paul, the great theologian, who, by the way, absolutely endorses this gift all through his writings, this is what he says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. He says, "With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit." With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. Dr. Gordon Fee used to be a professor at Regent College. He served with J.I. Packer and Eugene Peterson. He's one of the foremost scholars on Pauline literature, in other words, the writings of Paul. And in his commentary on Ephesians 6, this is what Gordon Fee says. Gordon Fee says, "Contrary to contemporary thought, those who had read this in Paul's day had no doubt in their mind that he was talking about speaking in tongues." He says, "Contrary to contemporary thought, those who had read this in Paul's day had no doubt in their mind that he was talking about speaking in tongues." He says, "With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit." But maybe that doesn't convince you. Let's continue further. Let's go to the primary chapter in the Bible that deals with this particular gift. And if you turn to the end, so we read the beginning, now I want to go to the end of this. At the end, this is chapter 14, this is verse 39. Look what Paul says. So he's making concluding remarks. Just to give you an idea, passage, this is actually 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. The way that Paul is addressing this letter, he's dealing with certain concerns or questions that's been rising up in the church. And so he'll start these phrases by saying, now concerning, pursue love, or whatever the case may be. So now he gets to the questions that have been arising in the Corinthian church dealing with the gifts of the Spirit, particularly prophecy and praying in tongues. And so he's addressing these matters, and so he's concluding not just chapter 14, but he's concluding his whole thought on spiritual gifts. And so he finishes, and this is what he says in verse 39. This is chapter 14, 39. He says, "Therefore, my brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy, but do not forbid to speak in tongues. But let all things be done properly in an orderly manner." He's not throwing it all out. He's saying, listen, when you come to this, listen, I want you to prophesy. Prophesy because it blesses the whole church. I want you to prophesy. That's what you should do. You should desire earnestly to do that. But then he says this. He says, but do not forbid to speak in tongues, but make sure when it's happening that it's done in an orderly fashion. Now, if you actually take this and you break down the words in Greek and you break down the sentence structure, this particular passage, when he says "do not forbid to speak in tongues," this is what we call a present tense imperative. Imperative meaning that it's a command, Present tense meaning it's an action that's continually happening. So in the Bible, in Matthew, when he says ask, seek, find, or knock, those things, is actually, that's also written in present tense, meaning the correct translation is keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. It's not a one-time thing that you do, but it's an action that is continuously in progress. And so what Paul is saying here, and if you break this down, this present tense imperative, number one, imperative, it's a command. And so he is commanding the church in Corinth, and he's commanding them to halt an action that's taking place. So when scholars say that the construction is designed to halt an action that's happening in progress, so what's happening here, Paul is actually saying, you church leaders, you are forbidding people to stop speaking in tongues. You're telling them not to do that. You're forbidding them to speak in tongues. And Paul is saying, I want you to stop it. And I want you to continue to stop it. In other words, you leaders, for whatever reason, you're telling people, you're discouraging people, you're saying, don't do this. Do not do this. And Paul says, you're making a huge mistake. And he says, present tense, I want you to stop doing that. And I want you to continue to stop doing that. So there's something, and it's pretty incredible as a closing remark that whatever happens, so if people say, whatever you get out of what Paul's saying through this passage, he concludes by saying, you are forbidding people from speaking in tongues. I want you to stop doing that. And I want you to keep stop doing that. Like, let people operate out of their gift. That's how he's closing this thing. And desire earnestly. So whatever Paul's saying, Paul ends up by saying, whatever you get out of this, I want you to know that you've been telling people to stop speaking in tongues. I want you to cut it out, and I want you to continue to cut it out. And so there's something about this that Paul is valuing that maybe goes beyond our understanding in this way. So let's go to the text. Let's go to the primary text, chapter 14 that we just read a little while ago. Pursue love, that's why everything always has to be in love, yet earnestly desire the spiritual. It's actually the word pneumaticos. It's not, there's no chariz in there. It's talking about the desire the spiritual, especially that you would prophesy. So for one who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. One who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. I've had someone come up to me years ago talking about this topic, and they said, you know, the reason why I don't like this is because I just don't understand what you're saying. And my simple response was, well, buddy, I ain't talking to you. It's just a simple thing. He says it very clearly. He says, one who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. There's a story of this boy that's saying grace for the food. And he started, the father asked the son, says, can you pray for our meal and give thanks to the Lord for our meal today? And then after a short amount of time of silence, next thing you know, the father heard the clanking of the fork hitting the food. And so he turned to the boy and the dad says, are you done praying? And the boy said, yes, I'm done. And the dad said, did you pray? The boy said, yeah, dad, I prayed. And the father said, I didn't hear you, son. And the boy said, I wasn't talking to you, dad. I was talking to God. That's a cute story. That's kind of like what it means to pray in the Spirit with the Lord. It's a language, it's a prayer that's not to men. And he says there that this thing that we cannot understand it. We don't, but in our spirit, we are speaking mysteries. This is one of those things, it's a mystery. It's that Greek, this mysterion. Because the reality for a lot of us, like, we want to understand everything. It's true, we want to understand everything. And if we don't understand it, we have this incredible tool called Google, and we can go online, punch it in, and then we can get some kind of understanding. This is who we are in this information age that we have. But we got to recognize that there's some things that God just wants to keep for himself. There are certain things that the book of Deuteronomy says, the secret things belong to the Lord. That there are just certain things about that. It's not complicated, but it's mysterious. And in the midst of wanting to understand everything, like I said, there's some things that God wants to keep for himself. There's this beautiful passage that illustrates this in Exodus chapter 33. And in Exodus 33, remember in 32, the golden calf and Israel sins greatly. And then God turns and says, basically, after some pleading by Moses, he says, well, you know, my angel will go with you. In other words, you're going to have my power, but he says, but you're not going to have my presence. I'm not going to go with you. And Moses is really struck by this because he doesn't just want God's power, he wants God. And brothers and sisters, that's actually an incredible commentary because a lot of the church these days will just merely settle for what God can do for them. God, I want my son to get into Harvard. God, I want to get this raise. I want to get this new job. It's not about his presence. Lord, I just want what you can give me, what you can do for me, but I don't really want you. And so Moses is struck with this situation. He's saying that my angel, you're going to have my power, but you're not going to have my presence. And Moses, being this man of God, says, no, 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 God, if your presence doesn't go with us, we don't want to go. Or how else will we be distinguished from every single people on this planet if not for your presence? And so then God says, okay, you convince me, all right, my presence will go with you. And Moses, still a little unsure, says, God, if that's really the case, show me your glory. Show me your glory. And then God says something very, very peculiar. He says, well, okay, you can see my face, this image, you can see my face, but then I'll have to kill you. So in that same way, you can see, or if that happens, you're going to die. So what do you want? And so what does God do? This is an incredible picture. So he takes the rock, and he cuts the rock, and then he hides Moses inside of the rock, and then his glory passes by. And he says that Moses' face shone like an angel. It was so bright. He was able to partake in God's glory, but there was a cost to that, which that rock, that whole picture, is what we call a type of Christ. In that same way, the chief cornerstone, the stone that we rejected, Jesus, the rock that is higher than I. What ends up happening is, what does God do? We can't partake of God's holiness. We can't partake of the greatness and the glory of God because of our sin. So God takes the rock, Christ, cuts him, and he places us in the rock. And New Testament, Paul would say, in Christ. And then we can partake of his glory. It's this beautiful picture of what's to come about what's happening here. It's this mystery of it all. He saw Moses just had it pass by, and he called it the glory of God. He experienced his glory because he was hidden in that rock. See, every single one of us, we need to recognize that we are spiritual beings. You'll see this quote up here. Pierre Teilhard de Chardin, French Jesuit priest and philosopher, he says, we are not human beings having a temporary spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having a temporary human experience. And every once in a while, as a spiritual being, we are invited to participate and really to go beyond the intellect. I can't even say this phrase. I found this in a novel. The ineluctable modalities of the visible. I have no idea what I just said, but I just said it. It's the same thing when we pray in the Spirit. We may have no idea what we said, but we get to participate in the mystery of God. It's the language of wonder. It's the language of awe. It's the language of transcendency. You know, sometimes when we're living this life and you want to say to God, God, I love you. God, I'm so grateful. But we realize that we are so limited in our English language or whatever language we have. God, I want to tell you something, but I'm incapable of telling you. I don't know the words. It's the old hymn, oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the wonders of his grace. In his collected writings, it says Shakespeare, one of the most intelligent men, Shakespeare used 31,534 different words. That is amazing. Of that, think about how smart this guy was, 14,376 words appeared only once in his writings. 846 words were used over 100 times. According to one estimate, the average speaker of English knows between 10,000 and 20,000 words. 20,000, you're like a genius. I mean, you're like one smart dude, probably an English professor somewhere. But Shakespeare used 31,534 words. Now think about this. Is there any language on earth that is sufficient to converse with a God that is so big, that is so grand, that is so deep, and that is so mysterious? See, amazing grace is a phrase. It's just a phrase. But it cannot begin to describe the gratitude and the incredible joy that we feel that once I was lost and alone in the darkness, and he found me. Amazing grace is a word, and it does capture a lot of things. But when you think about the goodness of God, and you think about the cross, and you think about that all that God's done for us, there comes a time in our life, our soul cries out. We want to say hallelujah and all these different phrases and words. But there's moments in our life where actually those words just doesn't cut it. And you begin to discover that God also recognizes that you're going to have moments in this life while you're here on earth that we become a little bit limited in our ability to worship him, a little limited in really expressing what's deep, deep inside of us that we can say to him. And he says, let me invite you into something. Let me invite you to participate here while you're here on earth, something that takes place in the heavenlies. And you say, well, how can I do that? And God says, open your mouth. Open your mouth. And this beautiful language comes up. It's a language of wonder. It's a language of awe. It's the language of mystery, the language of transcendency. It takes you out beyond the place where you are, where no one understands what you're talking about but God. There's a conversation going on right now in the heavens. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are conversing with one another. And they say, you can participate, but you can't understand. You can't understand. It's the mystery. Have you ever been in a time in the presence of God where you're just so soaked in his presence and you're offering up, and all of a sudden another language just begins to rise up? That's what happened to me. That's how I received the gift of tongues. No one prayed for me, actually. I was just in it. Well, I mean, some friends prayed for me before, but nothing happened. And I was merely in my prayer closet, and I was just singing to the Lord and just worshiping, and I was caught up. And in the midst of that, all of a sudden, this beautiful lyric, this language that I'd never known before began to rise up. It was a language of wonder, the language of awe, the language of transcendency. It's this place where no one understands what you're talking about, but God does. God does. You know, my wife and I, as you guys know, we're Korean, Korean-American, so Koreans, but we're raised in the United States, both my wife and I. And so people always ask us, well, you know, do you teach your kids Korean? And, well, we say, no. Well, one of the reasons is because we actually don't really speak it that well, my wife and I. I mean, we got to be honest. That's one of the main reasons is we're pretty poor in our Korean language speaking. But you know the real reason is, if I'm just going to be perfectly honest as a parent, the real reason is because we want to talk about our kids in front of them without them knowing. That's really what it comes down to. And so when we want to talk about our kids or have a private language, we just start talking in our very limited Korean, and our kids don't understand what we're saying. And it's this beautiful language just between me and my wife in front of our kids. Now, interesting that God also has a language that no one else steps into except you and him. One who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. And in his spirit, he speaks mysteries. Isn't that such a beautiful thing? He speaks mysteries. Maybe God has a language that he wants to speak just to you, back and forth, where the devil has no space in, or other people can't understand. I mean, I'm not saying maybe. I'm saying it's true. It's happening. It's a language of wonder. In our spirit, we speak mysteries. And we have precedents. Remember, if we go all the way back to, or fast forward, 2 Corinthians chapter 12? Remember 2 Corinthians chapter 12? Paul, he says he knows a man, he's talking about himself, but this experience has so humbled him that he says that he was caught in the Spirit, and he traveled into, he says, the third heaven. You guys remember that in the creation story, God created the heavens and the earth, is plural. And so we have the first heaven, which is we see our atmosphere, our sky, all these things. And the second heaven is a spiritual realm, angels, demons, all these things take place. It's what we call the supernatural. And then there's a third heaven, which we know is called paradise. We see this in Luke 24, that Jesus tells the thieves, today you shall be with me in paradise. He's talking about the third heaven because Paul says that in 2 Corinthians 12. And so he finishes and he says he was caught up and he experienced something and he says, but I can't talk about it. I can't say it's indescribable. There's nothing I can say. I'm forbidden, but I just don't have words to say this. And that memory says because of this incredible experience that he had that the devil sent a thorn in his side to buffet so he would not be proud. I mean, can you imagine what that's like? That's kind of like what it's like every time we pray in the Spirit. We don't understand it. Paul didn't understand it. Paul couldn't explain it to any. The thing about the finest teacher of his day couldn't explain that experience to anybody. Like when we talk about being naturally supernatural, this is as naturally supernatural as it gets. It's the language of wonder. It's a language of awe. Paul went to the third heaven. He saw things. He says, the word he uses is inexpressible. And he couldn't write them down. It's crazy. He could participate, but he couldn't understand. He says, in his spirit, he speaks mysteries. We can participate, but we can't understand. Let's continue on in verse 3 and 4. He says, but one who prophesies speaks to men for edification, exhortation, and consolation. And one who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. But one who prophesies edifies the church. So he says he edifies himself. See, if you think about it, building the outside, you know, okay, Vic, you're kind of muscular, right? It's kind of sad we don't really have that many muscular people at our church. Vic is a bit muscular. How did you get those muscles, Vic? Yeah, went to the gym, worked out, did push-ups, lifted weights. So we very well know how to build the outside of our body, don't we? Let me ask you this question. How do you build your inside? How do you build the inner man inside of you? How do you build the spirit that's within you? Well, Paul just told us here, one who speaks in a tongue edifies, it's the word builds up himself. Let me give you another passage. This is Jude, verse 20. There's only one chapter in Jude. He says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. I mentioned it's a language of wonder. It's the language of work. This is what we do to build ourselves up. This is what it means. We know how to build the outside. This is how you build the inside. Build the inner man within you. And it's amazing. When you pray in your spiritual language, you could pray for hours. I mean, you can hang out with people and pray in tongues the whole time and not miss anything because he says that your mind is unfruitful. Your mind's not a part, it's your spirit. And when you're doing that, it's building up your spirit. It's like you're imagine your inner man, your spirit lifting weights and getting big and huge. It's the way we build ourselves up in this place. And I've heard people tell me this before when I've been teaching on this and says, Pastor Sam, that is very selfish of you. How dare you build yourselves up? I'm like, are you serious? And you know what I respond? How selfish of you for eating. How dare you eat food? It's the same thing. You build up your body. This is how we build up our spirit. And I don't understand that kind of religious thinking that will take away something that is just so beautiful. We think it's so selfish. Hey, it's just as selfish as eating. And we recognize, no, we need to eat to fuel our bodies and to live in this way. And I mean, think about it. You know, every single one of us, you know you need to pray. You don't know what for. But as soon as you pray, you can rest assured that the Holy Spirit is directing our prayers. It's the language of work. It's the language of wonder. It's the language of work. We don't know how to pray, but the Holy Spirit directs our prayers. It's amazing how this works. Which leads us to the third one. It's the language of weakness. It's the language of weakness. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. And in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groaning too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because it intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. The moans and groans, it's not a discernible phraseology. Again, Gordon Fee would say that in this time, people were certain that he was talking about speaking in tongues. And see, and this is where I think people in the church where people that believe in the gifts of the Spirit, where they kind of lost their way a little bit because they turned this gift into a kind of a spiritual merit badge. They turned this thing into, because I've arrived, I have this gift. But it's the language of weakness. It's because we don't know how to pray. Brothers and sisters, I'll ask you this question. I've asked this question to audiences all over the world. How many of you here today, you are satisfied, content with your prayer life? Anyone? All my years of asking this question, I've never met one person. I'm serious, not one person. There's probably thousands of people that said, I'm content with my prayer life. Every single one of us, you guys know Juanita, my intercessor, our intercessor. She prays 10, 12 hours a day. I asked her this question. She's not satisfied with her prayer life. She knows that there's so much more that she could do, so much more that she can learn and understand. None of us, it's the language of weakness. I pray in the Spirit personally, not because I've arrived and not because I'm spiritually mature. I pray in the Spirit because I'm weak. I pray in the Spirit because I don't know what to pray for. I just don't know what to pray for. I pray in the Spirit because I don't have my act together. I need power from on high. It's again the great hymn, I need thee, oh I need thee, every hour I need thee. See, the Lord knows that I'm weak, and the Lord knows that I need to pray. So God gives me a gift. He gives me a mysterious language that helps me to pray. Most times we don't know what to pray for, but when I pray in tongues, when I use my prayer language, I know that I'm praying according to God's will. It's powerful. Brothers and sisters, think about this. Put yourself in my shoes for a moment. I'm the senior pastor here. I got 600 or so people to pray for here in Hong Kong. We have churches in Singapore, Beijing, New York. We're starting one in Shanghai in a very difficult time in this place. We have all different things happening. And I mean, not only the pressure of ministry and things that go on, I also am a father. I've got 4 kids. How am I going to pray for my kids? How do I know what exactly to pray for each 4 of my kids who have very different personalities and very different skill sets and very different needs and wants in different ages? Do you recognize that we need to go beyond ourselves? That when we talk about our prayer life, that, man, what I can do on my own strength is just not going to cut it? And God knows and understands that. So he invites us into something that is beyond ourselves. It's a mystery. It's a language of wonder. It's a language of work. It's what builds up the insides, our inner man, our inner being, that Paul will talk extensively about. But it's also the language of weakness. It's because I don't know how to pray. We don't know how to pray. And so the Spirit intercedes in our behalf with moans and groans too deep for words. It's the language of weakness. But primarily, I pray in the Spirit because Jesus said that I would. Because Jesus said that I would. Brothers and sisters, who is the first person to mention speaking in tongues in the Scriptures? Was it the Apostle Paul? Was it Timothy? Was it Peter? No, it was Jesus. Turn to Mark chapter 16, verse 17. By the way, this message is actually originally part of a three-part series. So I'm kind of truncating this to fit in this little series that we're doing about the question of how to grow. But you know, you can go online and listen to all three of the messages. Look what he says, Mark 16, 17. And these signs shall accompany those who have believed. In my name they will cast out demons, and they will speak with new tongues. It's the same word in Greek, the glossa, that's used in Acts chapter 2. The same exact word. These signs shall accompany those who believe. He's prophesying. He's leaving. He's saying, this is what's going to happen. He says, you're going to cast out demons, and you're going to speak in new tongues. Brothers and sisters, let me be just very straightforward with you today. If you have a problem with speaking in tongues, you have a problem with Jesus. Plain and simple. You have a problem with speaking in tongues, you have a problem with Jesus. He prophesied this. As well as, like I shared before, the Apostle Paul endorses it. He says, I pray in tongues more than all of you. He says, I wish that you would all pray in tongues. Now, as with this reminder, let me take it one step further. As with the reminder that Jesus is the first to mention speaking in tongues, there is also a second remarkable, important fact related to the first occurrence of what it happens that a lot of times is very easily overlooked. But the profound simplicity and the crystal clarity of this fact says something about what the Father views this spiritual language, or his view of the spiritual language. Think about this. The church, when it began speaking in tongues. Just let that just sink in for a little bit. The inception of the church, the first activity of the church in its inception was what? It was praying in the Spirit. The church began speaking with tongues the same day that it came into being. That's a fact worthy of a special place in our heart's understanding. Seeing that our Heavenly Father, the living God Himself, was the sole designer and sovereign instigator of Pentecost events. Let me give you a quote. This is Jack Hayford. This is what Jack Hayford says, a pastor, church on the way from California, great, great scholar. Hayford says, the Father certainly wouldn't have allowed anything unworthy, unlovely, or unloving to accidentally happen. Speaking with tongues didn't just crowd in on its own as though man forced an arbitrary Johnny-come-lately sign upon the church's birth and into the church's origins. Neither was this spiritual language an embarrassing surprise to the Almighty. Rather, the supernatural gift of language was given for holy and wholesome purposes, and he allowed it because he created it, and he completely endorses it. And that's a fact that we sometimes misunderstand. The inception of the church, it wasn't like Hayford's basically saying, it wasn't like God said, what is happening to my church? That's usually the take that people have. What's happening to you? This is something wrong about this. And the Lord would never allow anything like that to happen in the inception, in the beginning of the church. I mean, brothers and sisters, think about this. Do you remember the first date with your wife? Do you remember the first date? You remember where you went that first time with your wife? Doesn't it have a special place in your heart? Do you remember the first song that you guys listened to when you became husband and wife, or when you were dating? Or, you know, we all have this particular song. And it has a very special place in your heart. There's something about the first. In that same way, this was God's first. This was the induction, the introduction of the church, the first. And it was introduced to the world by praying in the Spirit. Now, listen, I know it's been misused. It's been used as a kind of a spiritual merit badge. It's been misused in the operation of the church. But it doesn't mean that we just throw the whole thing away. It's this beautiful, beautiful gift that God has given to us. It's this spiritual language. It's God's idea. Jesus prophesied it. Paul, the greatest teacher of his time, endorses it. And he wants each one of us also to participate in it. Let me close with this. If you want to see what you've never seen, you need to go where you've never gone. If you want to see what you've never seen, you need to go where you've never gone. Let's close our eyes. Invite the worship team to come. And sorry, I was going a little fast today. I was just kind of mindful of the time. And we had a lot of stuff going on at church today. But it's the beauty of spiritual language. It's a language of wonder. It's a language of work. It's a language of weakness. And it's the language that Jesus prophesied and Paul endorsed. And it's a language that's made available to every single one of us. And if we're sitting in a coffee shop and you're asking me the question, Pastor Sam, how can I grow? This is what I would say. I say this is an invaluable gift that God has given to us as a church. Now, we're not cessationists. I think that the scriptures are very clear that the gifts have continued to this age. And these are one of these gifts. This is one of the privileges that Christ offers to us in this place. Now, we're not going to pray today, but we're going to pray next week. And so, part of it is I didn't think we would have much time, but more so that if what I'm teaching and if this has been kind of maybe a topic of struggle for you, or maybe you grew up in a tradition like my early tradition where it was frowned upon, and so there's a lot of stuff to work through. I want to encourage you this week to go back into the scriptures that I gave. There's plenty of other ones as well. Maybe go back online and listen to the three messages. I think sometime in 2016, and I think I did it before in 2012. I wish I could give you more info. But just go and listen and let the Holy Spirit speak to you. And I thought it would be more beneficial if we just spent the week just processing and just allowing the Holy Spirit to continue to speak to us. And then next week after the service, we're going to pray for you to receive. Now, it may happen, it may not. It's the gifts, God, He passes out as He wishes. That's what the Holy Spirit, that the Bible says. That's what the Holy Spirit does. But we're not responsible for that. We're just responsible for asking. And that's what we're going to do. Does that make sense? But right now, let's just spend a moment and let's just interact with the text. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Let the Holy Spirit just put this hunger inside of you. I mean, not just for spiritual language, but for the spiritual. He says, I don't want you to be ignorant, brothers, about the spiritual, about the pneumaticos, about the things of the Spirit. We are spiritual beings having a temporary human experience. And as spiritual beings, God invites us into a spiritual realm, invites us into a spiritual language that's mysterious, the mysterion. And so the worship team is going to lead us in a song. I just want you to just begin to just talk to the Lord about this right now.
Nothing worth more that will ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope.
Invite us to rise to our feet and let's sing this together. Let's pray together. Lord, we come together, we recognize we are spiritual beings, God. And as spiritual beings, you allow us to come and participate in what's going on in the heavenlies, Lord. And God, when we say, how do we participate? Lord, you say, open your mouth. Lord, I pray that you would fill us, God. That you would fill our mouths, Lord, with the glory of God. That you would fill our tongues, Lord, with praises that go beyond words. That our words are incapable, God, of truly expressing what's deep inside of our hearts, Lord. When we think about who you are, how great that you are, and your sacrifice for us, Lord. Lord, I pray, God, I pray for next Sunday, Lord. I pray for this whole week, God, that you would churn in us, Lord. That you would speak to us, God. That we would hunger for the spiritual, for the pneumaticos, God, in our lives. And so we thank you, Lord. We pray that you would seal this word in our heart, God, and burn it within us, Lord. And then next week, as we come together to pray for one another, God, there would be an explosion, God. And we thank you, Lord. We love you so much, God. We bless you. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, shalom, from this day forever. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.